Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 235 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. Wow. Wow. Oh my God, we've got a great show planned for you this week. I don't know why that made me laugh. Maybe it's this fantastic conversation coming up in this week's episode with the band Soft Sleep, featuring members of Cumulus, The Lonely Forest, Death Cab for Cutie, and Silver Torches. Yeah, that's right. It's an indie rock supergroup sitting here in the backyard with me, and we're gonna have a lovely conversation about everything, man. All sorts of things, like vinyl, the importance of vinyl. Yeah, you remember that? We had a conversation with Duff McKagan a couple weeks ago about the importance of vinyl. Yeah, yeah, interesting stuff, man. And some wonderful stories about the trials and tribulations of major label records, or record labels, that is, major label labels, record labels, versus indie labels, man. And it's a really interesting conversation. We'll get into that in just a moment. And we'll be featuring new music by this awesome new band called Soft Sleep, man. Yeah. It's going to be great. Let's see. So one thing I want to get into here really quickly. We got an email from a listener pertaining to last week's episode with the band Lostlander, where we made some disparaging comments towards Oklahoma City. And, you know, just to start it off here, I was trying to bro down with that band, and I'm sure that they were telling some, they had a terrible story about a place that they slept in Oklahoma City, and it was only about the place that they slept in. By all accounts, the show was awesome. They had a great time in Oklahoma City. The place that they slept in does not have anything to do with Oklahoma itself or the city. It's just the place that they slept in, and we were making fun of that. And, you know, it came across, I listened back to it after I got this email, and it did come across as we were making fun of Oklahoma City. And I just want to apologize for that, because apparently we have a listener there, at least one, and they sent us an email, and I'm going to read it right here. It starts off, "I am an avid listener to the Air Raid podcast, and I'm also from the beautiful state of Oklahoma. I was listening this week, as I always do, and was a little dismayed by your comments on Oklahoma City. Even though I do not live in Oklahoma City proper, just outside, in fact, I want you to know that we are not all Sooner fans," that would be Oklahoma University football, "and religious/political zealots involved in bombings." I believe that's a Oklahoma City bomber reference. The emailer goes on, "A lot of us are into music, avid podcast listeners, and outdoorsy types who like to live outside of the hustle of the West and East Coast. In addition, Oklahoma City has a great music scene, as represented by the fact that Lostlander made a tour stop here. Anyway, just wanted to stick up for my hometown and let you know you shouldn't dismiss my home state. Maybe you could even do a live show here sometime. That might be a possibility. I don't know. Do we have many listeners in Oklahoma? I have no idea. This is the first, I believe this is the first email that I've ever received from Oklahoma. Listener John goes on, you have my permission to read this on your show. Still love it. Listener John from Moore, Oklahoma. Thank you so much, Listener John, and thank you for listening. And, you know, like I said earlier, I am very sorry that about the disparaging comments towards your home state and your home city. And, you know, just want you to know, it was all in good fun. It was joking about the situation that Lost Lander was in, especially Matt and Sarah and the place that they stayed. And if you haven't heard this yet, it is a ungodly tale of using, the website couchsurfer.com and ending up in a place that is, less than ideal. Let's just say that, shall we? Okay. So, sorry, John. I hope you accept this humble apology. Thank you so much for listening. We value you as a listener, and we hope that you still have it in your heart to keep listening and tell your friends about this here show, right? Yeah. We hope that all of you do, in fact, and we want you to take the pledge. Don't pledge money. Well, you can if you want. There's a donate button there at our website at www.air-raid.net. You can donate however much you feel we are worth for all this free entertainment. But remember to pledge and tell somebody about this here program. You can tell a friend, a sister, a brother, a mother, a father, a cousin. We'll take cousins, man. Yeah, yeah, that's great. Just tell somebody about the show. Tell them how you appreciate listening to it and tell them about all the great stories that we have in store. With that said, you can hit the archives tab and listen to all 235 episodes of the Air Raid podcast. We've been going for 5 years. We've had a bunch of amazing conversations, and it's all there for your listening pleasure. We're also available on Stitcher and, let's see, iTunes. And if you listen on iTunes, please leave a review. Or star rating if you don't feel like taking the time for the review. But we do appreciate that. And I read all of those personally. And like John, you can email me at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net if you have an issue with something that I've said in one of the past episodes. And maybe we'll read it online or on the show. That's what I meant. Yeah, okay. Let's do this, shall we? Let's get into our first musical break. We're going to be featuring music from the bands that these dudes, Kyle, Tony, and Eric, are all involved with. This first one is Pull the Pin and Forget by The Lonely Forest off of, off of their album. What was that off of? Oh my gosh. Why can't I think of this? Oh my Jesus. This is bad, right? This is bad. Adding Up the Wasted Hours. There you go. All right, Pull the Pin and Forget by The Lonely Forest, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast with the new band, the new indie supergroup, Soft Sleep. All right, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. It's a similar ride to my first water slide, and I try taking my mind off things, start a book at the end, and I don't care how got there, can't sit still, so I pretend. Would you mind if I tried to succumb to the tide, trading soil for blue, pull the pen and forget what pertains to it, and I try to get my mind off things, and I try to get my mind off things. Thank you. excessive detail. Like a fire alarm had run out of batteries or something like that. And so I was frantically searching around because you could hear it like beeping in, you know? And so I'm like frantically searching around. It wasn't the fire alarm in here in the studio. It was somewhere out in the garage. And so I'm walking around trying to, because it's only beeping like once every like minute and a half. So it would beep. And so I'd go in the direction of the beep and then listen again. But then I'd like go too far. So I'd have to wait another minute and a half for this thing to beep again. And then I'd go to a different area of the garage and try to fucking find this thing. And so I got up into the like the storage space in there, got cobwebs all over me and shit. And I'm like, where the fuck is this thing? And then I finally come across this bag, this old bag that we brought with us from our old house.
Sounds like a MacGyver situation, like a beeping, yeah, ominous bag.
I used a paper clip and a rubber band to create an explosive device that whenever it beeped, it would just explode. But that didn't work out. Yeah. But I finally find it, right? And it's this little like CO2 detector.
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
know what those
yeah.
look
yeah.
like, right?
Yeah.
And so I had pulled this thing when we first moved in here. I had pulled this thing out of the wall because we didn't really need it. And apparently it still had batteries in it. And so to find out if this was actually the culprit of like making the beep, I was like, you know, held it straight to my ear like a fucking idiot. God. And then it goes, you know, a minute and a half later, it goes off. And now all I hear is a ringing in my left ear.
Oh, no.
Dude, those Terrible. Things are loud.
Super loud.
Dude, because in my old place, I had one in my kitchen, and my cats would brush up against it.
Uh-huh.
And a number of times they, like, knocked it out of the wall.
Apparently they have like, carbon monoxide,
like,
was, like,
scare
like, in their
the
tails.
Shit out of me. Like, the cats would, yeah, it was bad.
Well, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah,
kind of good. Kind of tired.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
been a long day.
It's been a long day for you guys. Well, Kyle, Tony, Eric, joining me from the band Soft Sleep here in the backyard. Thank you guys so much for taking the time. I know you've been doing the rounds today, right?
It's been a busy day.
Yeah? You were on KEXP earlier this morning?
True, yeah.
How'd that go?
It was great. Mr. John Richard is always a pleasure to be around, you know.
Totally
nice guy,
great guy, great guy. How was the interview though? Was it just terrible? I mean, were
it
you
was
like
the worst?
Looking forward, you were like, you know what? We're doing this podcast later today. That's going to be so much better.
That's basically what we told him. We're like, we're just here to kill time, bro.
We're going on air raid later.
No, the interview was really fun.
Yeah?
He's an easy guy to talk to. So much so that. Like I was telling Kyle in the car, I was like, I'm not even sure which parts were recorded or which weren't. Like we were just kind of talking the whole time.
Right. And right.
I don't know.
Right.
He's a good conversationalist.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that whole story that I just told you, that terrible story about finding the carbon monoxide beeper, going to be in the interview.
Oh, good. I yeah, think that's good. Like
leaving
the,
it in.
I mean, that's the opener.
Right? Yeah.
That's how you,
your
pull a monologue.
The soft yeah. sleep open. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should put that on the record.
Yeah, that'll be the hidden track.
Hidden track, the bonus track.
That's right, that's right. So
wait,
you guys are kind of like an indie rock, you're like a Northwest indie rock super group, basically.
Ooh.
We've got Kyle.
Basically.
Yeah. I don't want to toot my own horn,
I mean,
but yeah. Kyle, you used to be in the band Cumulus, right?
Yep, yep.
You can see, we can see Kyle in the wonderful video. What's the song?
Do You Remember?
Yes,
you just
Do
type
You Remember.
Cumulus, Do You Remember into YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic video, fantastic song. Great job, sir.
Oh, thank you.
On that one, yeah. And then we've got Tony Ruland from The Lonely Forest.
Correct.
Who's been on the show before.
Yes.
Let's see. I was
but
gonna,
you came to us.
I did come to
you. We did it
you.
In the bar at the Brown Lantern.
The Brown Lantern.
How did you do that?
We just sat at a table and bullshit and got drunk.
Well, you guys got me drunk, man.
We got you drunk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was fun. I have very fond memories of that.
I remember. Day. Oh, that's good, man.
Yeah, I think about it every day.
And that's why you contacted me this time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it how you whispered it too. Every day.
Every day.
One of my, I got to tell you, that's like one of my fondest memories of going elsewhere to do this show.
Oh, cool.
Because a lot of the times you go, you you know, to go elsewhere to do an interview, it's out of your comfort zone, right? You're not sitting in your own space and you're talking to, you know, somebody who you don't know, you've never met.
Some drunk weirdos ran a corridor. Right?
But as soon as I walk in, they're like, hey, would you like a drink, Aaron? Thanks for coming up. Would you like a drink? And I was like, okay. And I'm like figuring like, you know, I'll buy the drinks, you know, since I'm making you take the time. And you're like, no, we've got a bar tab.
Yeah.
A Lonely Forest bar tab. So that was huge.
That's what you do for your friends. Huge.
Yeah. For your friends that you've never met.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
right. Future know. Friends.
It's like Sesame Street.
What?
Yip, 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 yip.
I have no idea what that means.
You have to watch
You've
it.
You never watched that?
Oh. Well, I know the yip, 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 yip,
yeah.
The aliens, right, yeah. From Sesame Street?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, what does that have to do with making podcasts?
I have
friends?
No idea.
I have no
oh,
idea.
Oh, you know, everyone's friends on Sesame Street.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
Oh, God.
And then Eric sitting over here all by his lonesome, drinking his coffee out of some sort of Jawbox Bluetooth speaker.
or a Mega Vape.
From the band Silver Torches.
Yes.
You don't Eric, don't take a drink while you're supposed to talk. It's not how it's supposed to work.
I know, I'm sorry.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. So you're in this band Silver Torches right now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And now you're doing this side project.
Yeah.
What is going to take precedence here?
You know, that's a good...
Whatever does best.
That's a good question. You know, we should just combine... We should combine forces, you know.
Silver Torches.
Whoa. No, it's funny because this was... I kind of joined the band by accident. We didn't even... Tony asked me to sing on a couple songs and
like you were like, just down the hall and you walked in through
yeah,
the door
you know,
and
it was
like, hey.
Just, he was like, oh, hey, you're here. You can do that.
it's true. The band has sort of been an accident, purposeful accident,
happy accident,
a beautiful accident.
Yeah. Okay. So how so? I mean, you're all, obviously you guys were all friends, right? You all knew each other from previous exploits.
Yeah. We know each other from like touring together, playing shows in Northwest together. I've known this asshole.
Hey, come
I'm
on.
I'm pointing at Kyle. Yeah. I've known Kyle for over a decade now, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Same small town.
Right.
Yeah.
Kyle, you grew up in Anacortes as well.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. He is in the same class as John from Lonely Forest. So,
okay.
You know,
okay.
All kind of related. But
they're all related. In
we're actually all related.
we are second cousins.
The entire town of Anacortes, yeah. Ew.
No, so... So after the Lonely Forest... like very abruptly called it quits.
Yes.
I kind of maybe mentally went off the deep end for a little bit. I don't know. I didn't think I was going to play music anymore. I'd sort of given up the idea. I was a bit like angry, sad, confused, blah, blah, you know, boohoo, fill in the blanks.
So this wasn't, and I wanted to ask you about that too. Like, what was this? 2 years ago? Was 2 years ago that Lonely Forest, quit.
No, it was this last. I guess it's coming up on a year that we announced it. May will be a year.
Right.
In some ways, it feels like yesterday. Sometimes it feels like it.
Why did it come to quits? I know you've probably talked about this endlessly.
It was a lot of people's personal lives. You know,
sure.
People had. You know, the other three guys are married.
Yeah.
I was married at one point. That had nothing to do with this.
Yeah. I don't just even know why I said there.
That. Yeah, just I think people, but we had gone through a lot of really dramatic label changes, you know, like being on two different majors and it going like horrible both times.
Really? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, we got kind of chewed up and spit out. And then I think it just sort of killed everyone's drive to do it. They didn't love it anymore.
Sure.
And also, once again, personal lives, aspirations, I think some people want to like settle down and don't necessarily want to be in like a rock band.
Yeah.
You know, being a dunderhead, just banging on stuff all the time.
Sure.
I want to keep doing that. But but yeah, so once the band split up, you know, there was a couple months of feeling sorry for myself or something, or just being confused.
So this wasn't by your choosing. You were kind of the odd man
out. You know, I was, I don't really like saying that, but I was the one guy that tried to keep it together. Like I wanted to keep playing. The other three had decided they were done. So then I started going through, I was in the process of moving too. So I was like going through these old boxes and found all these old, I've always recorded my ideas on microcassettes, like with an electric guitar that's not plugged in.
Sure. Just like a DAT?
Like a little, no, like literally.
Like the old cassette. Yeah, like
my,
in, like,
my grandpa gave it to him. It's like old, like, you know, like a dictaphone thing.
Sure, yeah.
And so I've always just used that. And I started listening to stuff and realized there was some cool things and some really not cool things on there. And decided, I was like, wait, there's some songs that should happen. And then I booked some studio time with Andy Park, who's producing the record, mm-hmm. recorded a couple of songs, just like front to back with to a click track, just like layered all the guitars. And then I was like, well, wait a second. I need other people to play other play instruments.
Yeah. Like, can't do all this live.
Yeah. And also, like, I like collaborating with people. That's sure, my sure. favorite part about it. And having always admired both of these guys and their bodies of work, they made sense to reach out to. And
yeah.
I don't know. Everything just kind of, he had just quit Cumulus.
Kyle.
Yeah, me.
Kyle. Hi. Yeah. Sorry. I'm doing all this pointing like people can see. and honestly, I thought Eric was going to say no.
What?
But I told you, I was always like kind of intimidated by you.
And Silver Torches,
out of a deep
you know.
Respect, I didn't know if he'd be interested. And then I sent him the tracks. We practiced once and realized that the songs were like there.
Yeah.
Like kind of like done.
And it felt good.
It felt great.
Yeah.
And really so good. We booked studio time at the Hall of Justice, Walla's studio. And I kind of told Walla the few days before, like, hey, buddy, you're going to come down here and play bass and mellotron and do some singing probably. And he was like, yeah, cool, man, whatever. And so Walla came down and
he nailed it.
He is such a nice dude. And now,
right?
You know, I mean,
he's one of the nicest humans in the world. That's why he's one of my favorite people and best buds. Like we just, I don't know.
Yeah.
What's not to love about him?
So we ran into him cause he's been on this show before and it was a little, I don't know. It was maybe, I don't want to say a year, not quite a year before he disbanded from Death Cab. And my wife and I and my kids ran into him and his wife walking up to the Swedish Pancake place in Ballard. And it wasn't even a Swedish Pancake. It's like the Norwegian Cultural Center or
that's
something.
That's what it is.
And
which
and,
he is all about, by the way.
Yeah.
He has like Norwegian it seemed like flags it, man. Everywhere in his house.
Really?
Oh yeah.
He looks like and that it made sense.
Yeah.
Like when he said he was going to the same place, I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, you look Swedish." Like that's like you've got the heritage, you know, going. Oh. But it was kind of an awkward like run-in because I would have just figured that he had no clue who I am even though he spent like an hour and a half here. You know, and met the whole family and stuff. And, you know, we chatted in the kitchen and stuff. And he's fucking Chris Walla, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. and so I introduce myself to his wife and I go, how did that interaction go down? I, you know, figuring in my mind that he had no idea who I was. Right.
Yeah.
I go, I'm Aaron. I do this podcast for Cairo Radio. And she's like, yeah, yeah. No, I listened to the show. It was great. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, that's rad. So I felt really cool in front of my wife. And
her. No, he's rad like that. I mean, he always remembers people's names. He's really good with, I mean, anytime he's like around any of my extended family, like, you know, like my little nephew, he's like, hey, Cameron, what's up, dude? Like he's on it.
Yeah.
He's truly a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And that's why.
So does it feel, I mean, does it feel pretty special to have a guy like that, behind your stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, it's weird cause I don't know. I've been close to him for a long time now. So like to me, he's just Chris in a lot of ways, but there's still those weird moments. I mean, when we were recording, I had one of those weird moments where I was like,
yeah,
okay, this is weird. Even though he produced the last two Lonely Forest records, and even like added little things here and there. It was weird to have it be like, oh, you're still here helping me with this thing. Like, because you care.
Yeah.
I was kind of in awe to just like see him sit down and immediately pick up a song and know exactly what to play, two takes done.
With it's horrible just like, jet lag.
He flew in from Norway.
Yeah, you can really tell.
Of course he did.
He flew in from Norway.
Just for breakfast.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So, I mean, that's got to be kind of a trip, right? What about you, Erica? I mean, was that kind of a weird experience for you?
It was surreal for sure. I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of respect for the guy. Just like Kyle said, you know, he just comes in and it's cool to see somebody who has been, you know, in the game for so long and playing music for so long and is, you know, obviously such a talented player, like just know exactly what to do. And,
right.
You know, it's, I don't know. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun working with him.
We'll get off Chris Walla here. And Chris Walla's nuts right here in just a second. But I want to say one more thing is like, what a serious amount of respect I have for a guy who can quit a band like Death Cab for Cutie to focus on running a label and being a producer.
Mad respect.
Like, that is like, wow, right? I mean, you know, being a musician like you guys, like, that's got to be, you know.
Yeah.
That's up there, man.
Yeah.
That's up there.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Chris does what makes Chris happy. And so, like, it's just very true to his character.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Like, he's just staying on his path. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So back to the whole accident thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really an accident. I mean, you knew that you wanted to create another band. You wanted to keep on playing music.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, I mean, was this just like, seemed like it would be just like a project? Like, let's say, you know, get some friends into a studio and record this thing?
Yeah, I really wanted it to be a band, but I was open to it being like a weird project that has a constantly changing cast or something.
Ooh, that must suck, you guys.
But
I'm all for it.
No, but that's actually what I mean. It seemed more weird to just call these guys and be like, "Do you want to start a band right now?"
Right,
you know,
right.
It seemed like better to try it out.
Well, that's the thing.
Then,
like when,
and then
when,
test the water.
When I signed up to do it, you know, I didn't have any. You know, I thought I'm just doing two songs, and you know, Tony was like, "Yeah, it's going to be this thing, and we don't really know what it is, but it worked so well that we kind of decided like, oh, we should actually make a record together.
I would have felt really wrong walking away from it. Just leaving it being like, oh, we recorded two songs together. That was fun.
Yeah.
Like it just
felt thanks for coming in.
Yep.
Yeah. Here's a pack of Skittles.
Yeah.
Close the door on your way out.
No, we were kind of saying earlier too, I mean, so we had like the one practice and then the one day of recording. And then I guess a day of some overdubs, but a week or two later we were doing our first press picks together.
Sure.
And after that we went to, you know, Hattie's Hat, having some drinks. And yeah, I just had this moment of looking around. I was like, this is my new band. Like, these are my friends. Like, I love these guys. I really care. Like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And it just felt natural. I was like, huh, this is it.
That's a good thing, man. That's a cool feeling, too.
It is a really cool feeling. And I felt like that at Hattie's Hat, too. I did sit there and reflect for a moment. I was like, huh.
Without sounding too cheesy, I just felt like home. I was like, I haven't had that feeling in a long time.
Well, there is there's something to be said for that because there is a feeling when you are in a band. And I've never been in bands that have done as well as you guys have. You know, it's the truth, man. It's the truth. Like, you know, my bands never really did anything, but it was always like, you walk into a place after practice or something like that, and you sit down to have a drink and a burger with two or three guys that like you have a real connection with, like on a musical level, and that is a special feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, not to get too sappy on it.
Yeah, no, it is really
a special feeling. What's nice about this group so far, at least, you know, we've only been a band for a little bit, but it's nice because we were having this conversation last night. There's no alpha male in this group. Like we're all real laid back, and I think that really lends itself well to just having things come naturally. No one's really trying to prove themselves, and
there's no ego or anything. It's just like guys just
having a good time
making something they enjoy making together.
Sure,
and that's always been my favorite part of it. Anytime the alpha male ego part comes in, that's when I struggle and like shut down and I don't know. kind of want to like turn my back to it. It
kind of stops being fun after that anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Feels like punishment.
Well, it's kind of a normal thing in a band setting too. I mean, that always kind of comes up. There's always a strong personality. And you know, not to speak ill of anything, and I don't want you guys to go into depth in that, but you've probably all experienced that to some extent.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that's important, though, for a band to have that in some way, because I think that, in my experience, you know, I've played in groups, and if you don't have someone kind of leading the pack, things can kind of get a little...
And go off the rails.
It can go off the rails, definitely. I mean, you know, with this, it's obviously, you know, this is Tony's brainchild, and it's, you know, he's the one in charge, and it's nice to know that for me going into it. Just like, I can be, I don't necessarily feel hands off, but I feel like, I definitely feel like I'm part of the group, but also it's, you know, how do I say it? It just feels good to just be a part of a group that's not, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm glad this isn't live.
That's not. No, I get what you're saying. Because I sometimes think I drove my old bandmates nuts because I'm always like pretty organized about everything. That's why they always called me Dad. And like,
you were the band dad.
Yeah, and they often,
I was always the band dad.
Sometimes it was like people didn't know that it was like, dude, what city are we going to tomorrow? And you're like, look at your tour laminate, you know? Or like, I don't know, shouldn't you know that we're going to Los Angeles tomorrow? Not that I'm like speaking ill of anyone. But,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little OCD, so it is. I'm good at organizing things and like to keep them that way.
Sure.
So as long as I don't drive these guys crazy.
No, I love it. You don't have to worry about that. I'm that way too. So I think that's why it's a good fit.
Great, a band of band dads.
Yeah, we're just dads.
I think you should. There's a new band name.
Dad.
We're gonna be called Band Dad. Stepdads.
The Stepdads. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Well, speaking of which, we're going to go and have a good cry over in the corner. But while we're doing that, we're going to feature this new song from the band Soft Sleep off this new upcoming EP, which is available for pre-order right now, right?
Yes. You can go to softsleepband.com.
Yep.
And there's a link where, yes, if you buy it now, you get the single immediately.
As digital.
As digital, yeah. Right. And then it also comes with a download card, but it's on colored vinyl. There's 500 total, 200 clear, 300 pink. The first 100 ordered will be signed, or it's an option. You don't have to get it signed.
Sure, but, sure. Nobody wants it signed.
No.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so.
And you can
We're
also...
just going to draw penises on them. So.
Signed.
Quote, unquote.
Air quotes.
Yeah. And it's coming out on Rocket Heart Records from here in Seattle. They do only vinyl.
Yeah.
Which I was totally unaware of. Which
that was
really cool.
A really important thing for me with this project was like everyone involved, like label, distribution, whatever, I want to be able to look at them, shake their hand, like be like, we are doing this thing together because going through the major label ringer was not fun. And it gets so abstract and just fucking stupid. Like trying to get the simplest thing done. We're like, hey, guess what? Our website is actually pretty cool and looks great.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire course of the Lonely Forest, I could never get a proper website built. And it was always like them putting me on hold with like some tech guy at Atlantic who was like, who are you? And then I'm explaining what I want, and then he'd like send me a mock-up, and I'm like, what is this? Like, that's not, no, why is there all this like flash stuff going on? And it just, I don't know.
I actually remember that about the Lonely Forest site, is that
that it was the worst website
on whatever, you know, if I was on like a different computer, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I think we should have won the award for the worst website on the internet.
All right, this is Unravel by Soft Sleep, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us. Drinking on beer and smoking raised back on my boat. So we're back. Welcome back, everybody. We're sans Eric because he died.
He passed away.
Yeah, he passed away while we were talking.
That was pretty fucking awkward, you guys.
It was.
When he died right there. I mean, I don't even know what to do about it.
So it sounds like this has like become like a regular thing in some interviews that you guys have been doing. Eric always has to leave.
It started today. I guess the constant joke will be that he dies. The thing is, one time he, what if he does? I'm going to feel horrible.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, man.
I'd
feel terrible, too, because that basically is now being recorded.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. I brought it up.
Uh-oh. No, it's fine.
Person of interest.
Forever.
It jinxed it. Jinxed it, man.
I thought you were going to say dinxed it.
Dinxed it. Well, welcome back, everybody. That was Soft Sleep off of their new untitled EP, and that was the song Unravel, which we were talking about earlier. Only going to be available on vinyl, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yep.
Do you think CDs are dead? Are CDs dead to you guys?
I mean, I have a shit ton of them. And
yeah.
I don't. The only time I buy a CD is if it's the only format I can get it.
Right.
In.
Yeah. Right.
Usually it's like weird bootleg stuff. I have always preferred vinyl.
Sure.
And I don't know, I'm annoyed by stuff that is digital only. I understand that like maybe I'm just like slightly too old to not be into it. Because it seems like everyone like 5 years younger than me seems to not care about physical media at all.
Right.
Yeah. But that's another thing that I'm trying to push with it, like by only offering it on vinyl with a digital download.
With a digital download.
But just
yeah.
this like,
cool. the
no, like,
the package.
Like you should have a thing
yeah.
that says the thing and has the thing.
Right.
You know, look yeah. at it.
Being able to hold it. And...
I mean, because I spent a lot of time designing this album cover and like, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
And a friend did the actual work for me, but if you look close...
It's kind of cool, actually.
Okay, so I have really bad like stomach ulcers. Like I've had health issues my whole life. So
really?
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, I have Crohn's disease.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I think we actually talked about this the last time
yeah, we were on we the did. Show.
Hmm. Yeah.
But so the album cover is
really, your towels?
Is really, yes. It's my butthole. No, it's really close-up pictures of like pills that I used to have to take all the time.
Okay.
But the colors are inverted and it's all chopped up, so you can't really tell what it is. So it looks all like psychedelic and abstract.
Oh, I notice it though. There's one of the pills with the little tiny
balls
in it.
Yeah, capsules inside.
Yeah. Okay.
And then even the band name itself is a reference to, I've always had like insomnia issues, often because of my stomach hurting. Or sure. Like, also just like I have really bad anxiety. So whenever I'd go to the doctor, he'd always say like, how's your sleep? And I always say, I've had really soft sleep lately. And so it's just
so that's
this,
where the band
this
name
phrase
came.
That I just got attached to.
Oh, wow.
And it always created this weird like dreamscapey feeling for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that combined with all the narcotics, like, I don't know, it starts to have this I guess, dreamy narcotic vibe to it.
Yeah. What about you, Kyle? Do you have any health issues?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I'm perfectly healthy. No.
Kyle's the perfect specimen.
Yeah.
Including the Wu-Tang tattoo. On
yeah, he That's asked right. me about that earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
I've decided...
I only saw half of it. See, with the Wu-Tang, you only need to see like the bottom of it.
Exactly.
And you know exactly what it is.
It looks like that or like someone really fucked up a Batman tattoo.
They were kind of similar, aren't they? Huh.
They are a little bit.
See,
yeah,
I have
weird.
A real
yeah, totally.
Batman tattoo.
Oh my
I was
God,
wondering
you
what that
do.
Was. I can't even see.
It's one of the original sketches of the profile of his face.
Oh,
like that's
yeah,
the horn.
There's the yeah.
It's one of the Neil Adams sketches.
Nice.
Who's my favorite artist?
Nice. That's
I
fantastic.
Thought it was the Indian shooting a star in the lollipop.
No, that's here.
Oh,
that's
God,
right there.
I'm
yeah.
a jerk.
Which is also, I mean, did you guys have that in your home in Anacortes? I'm sure you did. Where if you got the Indian
oh,
with the
yeah.
star,
oh yeah, get the free. Yep.
You'd
sucker.
Get a free. Yeah. You'd get a free.
Which you
sucker.
Know was never a Tootsie Pop policy.
No.
It
but it
like,
was just a store policy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It just started happening because kids right. like made it up. Like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty rad.
I used to get it in the Indianola store, man, my hometown of Indianola, Washington.
Oh, nice.
I would just, they would, you know, they would honor it.
Yeah,
it was great.
I grew up in like Kirkland. And
was poking
the,
in the eye.
Sorry, dude.
sitting very close for those that listening
we,
at home.
We share a bed a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
do you really?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Actually, like, I always get drunk and fall asleep in his bed. It's weird.
Or vice versa.
Well, he has a really big bed, and we both end up drinking a lot and listening to music, and then before you know it, you're fully clothed with a jacket on in your drummer's
spooning
bed.
Spooning your bud.
Not so much spooning.
It's touching butts.
Touch butts.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Or either fully clothed or footy
naked.
Pajamas.
Oh.
Footy pajamas.
Yeah, no, footy pajamas. Yeah, I had put these footy pajamas of his on the other day.
You actually have like a full-size adult pair of footy pajamas?
Oh, yeah, they have penguins on them.
Yeah, but see, the thing
really?
Is, I'm like a few inches taller than him, so like for me to fit in them, I had to like bend my legs.
Right, right.
And so I fell asleep this way with my legs, and like the next morning, my legs hurt so bad because I had slept with my legs.
But you wore them all bent. Night?
Well, when you're that drunk and you fall asleep in them... It doesn't hurt then. It's the next day where you're like, what
right.
happened?
Fantastic.
And you see the like yeah. race car pajamas. Sitting
that's so funny. So back, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Rewind. We were talking about vinyl versus CD.
Yeah.
I still, like you, I still, like both of you, I still have just a ton of CDs. Like
yeah.
a buttload. But like I'm not adverse to getting MP3s anymore, like digital downloads, because I can use it on my phone.
Totally.
Right.
Dude, they're so
portable. I can
take so
it,
practical.
Take it portable. Into the car. You know, I plug it into the little mini, the mini jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mini to mini. And I can listen to it on my car stereo or something like that.
Yep.
But vinyl, and I was just, I'm going to totally name drop right now, but I was just talking with Duff McKagan.
Yeah.
Founder of Guns N' Roses, mm-hmm. Velvet Revolver. Mm-hmm. He was just on the show. And we were just talking about like vinyl and how it was so... You felt so involved with it, right?
Yeah.
You felt really involved with like the process of listening
you
to the
actually
music.
Have to sit down and
yeah,
listen
it's a,
to
dude,
it.
It's
and
a,
you have
it's
the
a
big
ritual.
Thing.
Like, yeah.
And you can look at yep. it while you're, you know, in some awesome records, you open it up, man,
yep.
and there's like a bunch
mm-hmm.
of stuff to look at on
CR
the inside, maybe some mm-hmm. lyrics, you know, a lyric sheet or whatever it comes with it. And when, if you want to skip a song or something like that or go back to the original song, you have to get up. Walk over and physically pick up the pin and put it back and get it right.
Yeah, you have to
right?
get that groove perfect.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly.
I think
or you're going to miss
a,
your favorite part.
It was a very
magical process. I love how involved it is, and I think you build a different relationship with
music. Yeah.
It's not just background music. I mean, like, you know, you actually have to sit down and listen to it. If you have an iPod, you put it in a dock or something like that, you can just press shuffle and it'll play 100 songs. And yeah, sure, you're listening to them, but you're not really paying attention to them. Like,
but
you
know
would
what?
Be.
You know what? For my daughters, right, I want to introduce them to vinyl. We've got a ton of vinyl here. Yeah. Bands bring their vinyl copies, you know, in all the time, which is awesome. And I want to introduce her to that. But she's going to be in a totally different generation where she's going to look at MP3s and stuff that she's able to play off of whatever media device is available to her when we finally get her one. And she's going to reminisce about that. Like, man, I remember taking my...
Like, dude, you remember iPod Shuffle?
Yeah. Do you guys remember the iPad?
Yeah.
the iTad or whatever is going to be the next thing, right? Where it's like... you know, embedded in your skin.
That's I was gonna say, like a brain implant, or what is it, the Matrix or Johnny Mnemonic?
You remember how involved it was? You had to like press the back of your ear to get it to like, you know, play the lyrics and stuff, and you could check that out and just lay on the couch.
Oh, those were the days.
And you had to lay on one side of your head because if you laid on the other side, it would accidentally skip towards, you know, the other song. You know, that's what it's gonna be for her. You know, she's going to have this whole different thing that they're reminiscing about.
Yeah.
That's kind of a scary thought, actually.
It is, totally.
It really is.
I was pulling like, that from a recent episode that I saw of Futurama where it's like, you know, the iPhone where they actually stick it into your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Yeah. Way to take it on a tangent, right?
Yeah, we did pretty well there.
Going back to vinyl, like I made a promise to myself. Once I decided, like, I'm starting a new band or at least recording stuff and putting stuff out, my promise to myself was I'll never put anything out again that does not come out on vinyl. Like, because it was, once again, with the major labels, you would have thought we were asking them for, I don't even know, for like...
Right.
Some like moon dust.
Sometimes.
Because I was like,
we'd
like to press this record on vinyl, and they were like, oh...
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, they're like, tell me more about this vinyl.
And
you're
like,
you know, like a record player. And they're like, sounds expensive. And you're like, yeah, I think it is kind of. It got to the point where I literally was offering to front the money.
Sure.
I was like, I will pay for the pressing. How much?
And this was
really
this was Columbia?
That was Atlantic. And then so they eventually pressed Arrows on vinyl a year after it came out.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it eventually came out on vinyl.
Yeah. Right? And then the last record came out on vinyl, but the problem was it didn't come out on time. Like, they moved our release date 3 times within, like, a week before it came out, they moved it. And then, like, the day before it came out, they moved it again.
Oh, no.
And then, like, it just kept getting moved. And then once it was like, cool, hey, guess what? All your CDs are here, but the vinyl is in the Czech Republic. And we're like, what do you mean? And they're like, no, it's actually in the Czech Republic. And it's not even assembled. And we're like, what? They're like, yeah, the jackets are here and the vinyl is here and the sleeves are there. We're like, how did this even happen?
Wow.
The record was pressed in the United States.
Yeah.
Like, what? So.
That's weird. That's weird.
So anyways, yes, it's important to me that it's on vinyl.
Well, I think that's cool, man. You're sticking to your guns, and it's kind of like a fulfillment of a dream, right?
And the other thing I always wanted was colored vinyl, and I always was told, no.
Can't
do
that.
So that's why even like the 7-inch, well, it comes out on 2 different colors. The full length might even be 3.
That's fantastic. Like... Did the Cumulus record ever come out on vinyl?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
I guess Trans Records is probably a lot easier with that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty good to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that cool, though? Like, when you first saw, like...
It's a good
an
feeling.
An album that you recorded.
Yep.
And that comes out on a frickin'...
Holding it in my hands.
LP, man.
The artwork is finished, huge. LP, being able to sit it on there. Yeah. And it's listening to myself. It's a good feeling. It's a really good feeling.
Yeah. That's got to be really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the experience of, like, being in a band and, like, getting that first, like, CD.
Yep.
Where it's finished and the artwork is there, which always, like, turns out, it's like, you see it, See, in the bands that I was in, you would get the CD and it was like, oh, that looks terrible.
That looks awful. That didn't
turn out right. You know, but fuck you guys. Is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, we had a couple of bad artwork situations early on in
really?
The Holy Forest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I choose not to talk about them anymore, but they, people know what I'm talking about.
A lot of bad feelings.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't? I promise we will always have good artwork.
Right on. Well, I like you were talking about earlier, the artwork for the Soft Sleep EP is fantastic. I think that's a really good idea.
Thanks. I think it came out awesome.
Yeah.
It does look really cool.
Christian Davis, my buddy who did all the work for me on it, I'm eternally grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great, man. I think it looks really
good.
He
put up with all of my neurotic old man directions.
Yeah.
He's a bit younger than me. So, and you know, like I'm not good with computers or the internet or anything. So I was like, make it do this. Why does it look like that? No, turn it this way. No, I like the other one better. You know, just.
Oh, I know how those conversations go. Like we just revamped our whole website and like talking to my buddy who I used to be in a band with, who made the website and stuff. And we're just emailing, right? It's just email back and forth. We never really talked on the phone about anything. But it was like I felt so stupid whenever I was trying to like explain to him like what I was thinking. It comes out like gobbledygook. Like, you know, I have no idea what I'm talking about, you know, really. And so I'm calling, you know, I'm trying to use words like header and footer, you know, like the picture that's going to be on the header. You know, he's like, that's not actually what that's called. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, you know what I'm talking about, right? And he's like, no, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was a lot of that. And luckily he was a very patient person.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a good quality.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you guys left, Atlantic Records, mm-hmm. did you have to sever a contract for that?
No, it was okay. So
were you done with your obligation to the label?
It was a really weird thing where we were, you know, because we were signed to Trans and Atlantic at the same time.
Right.
And we were supposedly getting, Atlantic kept telling us we were getting upstreamed to Atlantic proper. And like, oh, you're going up to like, not going to be, you know, on the imprint anymore. It's just like straight up Atlantic. Just keep writing more songs, write more songs. We've already written a record. And they're like, no, keep writing. And it got to the point where like, we had like 48 songs written or something. Uh-huh. And then they started telling us things like, well, can't you write songs that sound more like fun? And we're like,
oh,
but
shit.
We're not fun. We don't want to sound like fun. And we even wanted to like record like, perhaps, like the glossiest version of one of our songs that we could. Like this like dance beat. And it was so silly. And then we showed them that and they were like, oh, this doesn't sound like you guys. And we're like, yeah, because you told us to go make a song that sounded like fun.
Yeah.
And we're embarrassed that we made this. Like, and then they were like, well, we're not really sure. You know, it's just like 10 months of going back and forth. And then finally, well, we're like, I think we're just going to leave. And then they were like, actually, I think you should leave.
Whoa, and then what? We're like, really?
Yeah. And then we're like, okay, fine. I guess this is done. And so we just clean break, left.
Well, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah,
though,
definitely.
Then we went back to Trans.
Yeah.
Should have stayed there, honestly. Things were going really well back then, like reissue our first two records.
I like Trans.
We were
Walla's label, man.
Yeah, we were recording, adding up the wasted hours, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then right after got done getting mixed and mastered, you know, our management as like a, I don't know, test, they were like, we're just going to put it up on a private SoundCloud for like a week and see if any majors try to get it. And within 3 days, Universal got a hold of us and was like, pull it down, we want it. And we were like, okay, do we do it? Like what? And it was a weird thing where there was no advance money, but like a lot of promises made. And like,
sure.
I'm not speaking ill of anyone. Like I actually love everyone that we worked with there.
Yeah.
I think that they just had, it ended poorly because I think people that their
we're
bosses
at the top.
Or something. Yeah. People at the top didn't care or something.
Right. Right.
And, so yeah, we went to Universal Chop Shop, and it just once again, they like basically like didn't distribute our record, and a bunch of weird things happened, and that was like sort of the last. That really broke the will of everyone in the band, I think.
Really?
And then that's when we had this talk of like, no, we need to take the power back, and they do like a real like DIY where they sign the smallest label we can.
So you weren't still obligated or under any
Universal
obligation
felt
for like
so bad about
oh,
it.
Oh, really?
That they literally just sent us like a. They just were like, yeah, you guys can just go. Let's just call it even.
Are you serious?
And, like a golden handshake.
And
kind
they
of?
Sent me. It's funny because wow. It actually like my. I had moved out of my apartment and I got this like random, like through Instagram, a message from this girl. And she's like, I think this thing's important. I don't know. Do you want this? And it was a picture of like an envelope, like 2 inches thick of like the exit contract from Universal.
Oh my God.
And so like, I'm going through it and just kind of laughing, but it just like, it just made everything essentially all ours again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Well, that's pretty least, amazing. Yeah.
Which was cool, but also proof of like how bad they knew they fucked up.
Yeah.
Right.
That they were just like, and we're so
well. See, that doesn't always happen.
No,
because
I think it's because
that's a really
the
rare
people that
case.
Did work with us.
Yeah,
actually, really cared about us.
Well, that's good.
Once again, I'm not. I refuse to say like names.
Yeah,
but the,
yeah.
They were really good people. The company just didn't work out for
yeah.
us.
Once again, bring him back to Duff McKagan. He has a story of when I have to, because that guy's got so many fucking amazing stories. But he's got a story of when they were at, and I think, I want to say it was like Geffen.
Yeah.
And then Geffen was bought by somebody. And at that time, Duff was doing his own solo record after Guns N' Roses was kind of on hiatus. Right back in the mid-90s
yeah.
or something. And so he made this solo record. And then Geffen got bought out, and they were all like backing this whole Duff's solo record. They were going to put it out. Now the new guy that came in and headed up Geffen was like, we're going to put this on hold, but I believe in you. And, I'm going to tell you what my decision is in person. I'm going to come back to you in person, and I'm going to tell you what I decide whether or not we're going to put this out. And so Duff waits months, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets an email from an intern saying, we're not going to put your record out.
Awesome.
That sounds exactly like yeah. how it goes.
And you're severed from Geffen, and you can't have your music.
Oh.
We own it. And great. So Duff goes, well, I'll buy it. I'll buy yeah. it back. And they spent $85,000 on it. He said, I'll give you the $85,000. They said, no, we need to make a profit on it. We want $250,000. So that
insane.
Shit sits in fucking limbo
that
forever.
Is one of the most fucked up things.
All of his yeah. songs that he sweated over.
And they're still just...
And they're still just, you know, nowhere. So funny story. When Velvet Revolver started doing a lot of stuff with Scott Whelan and Slash and, you know, those
yeah.
guys.
Right.
They are contacted by the head no. of this new label. Who was the head at
no,
Geffen
no.
that fucked over Duff McKagan, right? And so they're like, do we take this meeting with this guy? You know? And Duff's like, yeah, we take this meeting. And so they go and they sit in this meeting with this guy who's sitting there across the table from these guys and says, this is all about family. You guys are family with us. If you sign with us,
you
guys are family.
I think I've heard
that
exact line before.
Right. I'm sure yeah. you have. And so it was so funny because they
Jesus.
Just sat there stone-faced and listened to this guy spout all this bullshit about how they're family and that they want, you know, Velvet Revolver to be part of this family for this record label, big record label. I can't remember which one it was. And so finally, at the end of it, like, they were never going to take the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Whelan, like, jumps in and was like, you know, well, we've heard this story about this guy, and he tells the whole Duff story, right? And this guy's like, oh, yeah, we would never do that. And he's like, well, you know what? The funny thing is that the guy that I'm talking about is this guy right here, my buddy, and the other guy was you. And they walk out, they get up, and they walk out. Think about
that
shit,
would,
man.
Oh,
I mean, that is like the best revenge.
It's pretty badass. I'd love to be in that situation.
So amazing, right?
I
so
love
amazing.
A chance to do that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So no experience like that, which amazes me, because you were dealing with these bigger record labels. Like, I mean, Atlantic is a big record label.
Yeah. and
Universal is an amazing, even bigger.
Yeah.
That's killer. So, Kyle, let me ask you this: like, you were on a smaller label. You were on Trans, right?
Yeah.
Always a good experience?
Always a good experience. I wasn't like constantly in the band. I was in the band on and off.
Okay. In Cumulus, we're talking about Cumulus.
Yeah, Cumulus. They approached me, asked me to record an album with them. I recorded it with them, and then after I had already left the band, that's when they got signed to Trans. I didn't really deal with any of the business ass part of it. I went on a couple tours with them, and you know, just pretty much enjoyed it.
Yeah. So. Had you ever been involved in a band that was on a label before?
Land of Pines for a little bit, but I wouldn't necessarily call it a label. I guess so. Finn Records.
Oh yeah. Here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So, our experience with them was incredible.
They
paid for us to go to and record with Martin Fevier at Jupiter Studios.
Right.
Put out a 7-inch and then put out a 12. I mean a full length, you know, and they were great. Christian, he's an amazing person. So I had no.
Is that still going? Finn ended, right?
I think
just
so.
Went under,
yeah,
like went a bankrupt. Year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ran out of money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so sad.
Yeah,
it is sad
because Christian he's one of the sweetest people out there.
Yeah,
and he's actually doing it to help local musicians that he believes in.
Right, right.
He's that guy that says your family, and he fucking means it.
Right.
You know,
he's not the guy.
He's
like,
not
your family.
Yeah.
Put your fingers on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah. I can't iterate enough how rad everyone at Trans is. I mean,
yeah,
obviously, like, biased towards Chris.
Sure.
But Adam and Andy, who run the label for Chris, are just so rad. I really do love Adam Katz and Andy as if they are family, like, for real.
That's really cool.
I mean, like, I've slept at their houses a million times.
Did you sleep butt to butt with them, or
did you touch butts?
I've never touched butts with them. Actually, I have a pretty good story about being really drunk at Adam Katz's house.
Let's
please share.
He has younger children, and they weren't there, so like a lot of their toys were there.
That's good.
And Adam, I remember we had just played.
You are never invited to a party over here, by the way.
We had just played Spaceland, which is in, like, Silver Lake.
Yeah.
You know? And Adam, he was, like, stoked to have, like, the boys over, you know? Because
boys night out. Woo!
Yeah, Adam's, like, mid-40s or something. And, like, and have all these, like, 20-something-year-old dudes over to party.
Right.
And he's, like, you guys need some, like, beer, like, some booze? And we're, like, yeah, grab, like, a... I don't know, like a fifth and some beers. And we get to his house, and he's bought 2 half gallons, a half gallon of Jim, a half gallon of Jack, and 2 racks of it. So there's 48 beers, these 2 half gallons, plus all the beer he already had at his house.
Right, right.
And we get there, and he's like, do you guys think this is like enough? There's only 5 of us.
I got to meet this guy because this is exactly what I have done.
And we're like, yeah, man, cool. But then we proceed to just like, drink it all.
Right.
And Adam goes down pretty early. Like, at one point, he's just like, he's like, I'm going to sleep.
It's like 9:45.
And he like, he goes and lays on his bed, flat on his back, fully clothed, and just immediately starts snoring. And his kids have this Darth Vader helmet
that
you put on, like, when you talk through it.
The voice changer?
Yeah, it sounds like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So,
my daughter wants that.
It's
and there's
toy.
Well, there's a button that you put on it, push on it, and it has pre-recorded phrases. But
yeah, it
one
comes
of,
with the chest plate.
One of them though sounds like it says, "Luke, where's the whiskey?"
So were the batteries dying or something?
No. But so we kept just standing over his sleeping body, doing like the Darth Vader breathing thing and hitting the "Luke, where's the whiskey?" thing, and then he'd be like, like look up and just fall back asleep. And the next day he was like, were you guys wearing the Darth Vader mask? Or like, what was going on? We're like, no, dude.
You didn't puke in that, did you?
Yeah, no one puked in it. Someone may have slept in it, but.
Hopefully Braden.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was Braden.
That's fantastic. I have totally been in that scenario before, where I'm just like, oh, the young guys are coming over, like, you know, young band. I gotta be prepared, you know? Like, what do you guys want to drink? Although now I'm making you guys feel bad because I did not. Do that with you.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, man, come on.
You're actually out of everything when you got here.
I got water.
Right. From the tap. Yeah. But I've done that same thing, like, you know, older guy, like, yeah, young band coming over, want to make a good impression, and then proceed to just get shithoused before the interview even happens, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just feel really good about myself right now.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
If you're blinking and staring down, I want you guys to know.
Looking at my feet. Yeah, yeah. So what's coming up for A Soft Sleep? The EP is going to come out on vinyl. What's the date again?
Well, it's available now. It's just like
pre-order. As pre-order,
basically,
right.
And I mean, as soon as the vinyl shows up, it's really about how long it takes to pressing plant.
Okay.
Which these
okay.
days, like, they give you really weird timelines where they're like, it could be 4 weeks, it could be 12. You know, so like, at some point, in the next month or two, it
band
will,
is called Soft Sleep, yeah. And the release is Soft.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
It's a soft release. Yeah.
Basically, that's why offering people the single now to have, which KXP is going to be playing a bunch.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, it's really just about, like, having a presence, you know, like, hey, this is a thing. We're making a record.
Right.
You can
right.
get this, and it's proof. You can hold it in your hand that, like, we are a band.
Yeah.
For right now, just lots more writing. I have a lot more of these micro cassettes to tear through.
Mm-hmm.
So
full length to come.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Definitely.
Excellent.
And there's a bunch of songs halfway written right now. And even there's some stuff that I haven't even shown them that I, in my mind, is done. But with the way the situation is working now, I kind of just want to tear them apart. And not them.
Hey, man.
Tear the songs apart.
Right.
And
right.
just like rebuild them.
I was like,
them.
Fuck you.
Yeah. 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 Well, I just want to go in there and just, you know. Tear
is that what happened to Eric?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He passed. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely a full length
okay.
later this year.
Great. And we can stay in touch with you guys at, let's see, rocketheartrecords.com/softsleep. And also at softsleepband.com.
Yeah. And
man.
Of course we got, you know, we got that's the tough. Twitter,
all
and
the social,
Facebook.
All yeah. the social
media. Facebook. So yeah. go and like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and we'll have links to all that good stuff at our show blog at www.air-raid.net. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in, man.
Hey,
this has been a real treat.
Yeah.
It's good to see you again, Tony.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, and nice to meet you
yeah.
again, maybe?
Again? I swear we've met before, but...
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You look very familiar.
I know, you do, too.
I'm trying to think of, like, maybe you look like some sort of, like, actor.
Brad Pitt.
Don't, guys. All right.
Young Brad Pitt, dude.
No.
Holy shit, you do.
No. Yeah.
You
no.
look like Brad Pitt
you
from,
got the Brad Pitt
vibes. What's the two women that eventually drive off a cliff?
What
yeah.
the fuck?
Bonnie and Clyde.
No, it's not Bonnie and Clyde. It's like
no, I know what you're talking
Lois
about.
Lois and somebody. Lois the, Lerner. No,
yeah,
that's
you're
not right.
You're the hot young cowboy Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
What he's trying to say.
You are, dude. Or
Legends of the Fall.
Oh, yeah. When your hair was long, you had the total Legends of the Fall vibe.
I hate you guys.
That's
Kyle.
A
but thank you guys. That's where we've met. Legends of the Fall.
You get the babes. This is what's going on. You guys are some good looking dudes.
Why the hell can I think of the name of that?
I have no
movie.
Idea what movie you guys are talking about.
What is it? Lois and.
You know, it's like a classic. People say like you know, pulling a blank, and it's the name of the movie.
Louise. It's
Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise.
Oh,
thank you. I could have. Like I've got
did
the
I say
internet
Bonnie
right
and
here.
Clyde?
You totally
yeah, you
said
Bonnie
and Clyde. That's
Clyde.
The one where they. I don't want to spoiler alert or anything like that. But
I know,
they die at the end.
I know.
Of both movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, guys. Been a real treat. Thank you so much for coming to the backyard and spending time with me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And you can find out more about us at www.air-raid.net. Click on the Archives tab. You can listen to all 235 episodes there for your listening pleasure, all free. Plus, we're available on iTunes. And if you do go to iTunes, remember to leave us a review and a star rating. That would really help us out. I read all of those. I read all of them. And I appreciate all of them, even the bad ones, because it makes us do better, right? Yeah. And you can get in touch with me at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net, and follow us on Twitter at air-raid.net and Facebook, all the stuff. There you go. Okay, we're going to go out today with the late and the great Eric's band, Silver Torches, because, of course, he passed. So I don't know if Silver Torches is going to still go on. Of course, we're joking. He's still alive. He just had to leave. This one's called...
This World.
Oh. quick-witted Tony Ruin over there on the mic. Okay, this is Silver Torches, Wooded Hill, and we'll be back next week with more Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.
All right, where's the list? Into the